In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, it's the first letter, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading the last verses of that letter. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 24 for our meditation this morning. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything. Hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, our Advent King who has come and is coming again, dearly redeemed believers. This just in, shared by a dear daughter. LCMS Mission Field, USA. According to the latest Gallup poll, only one group of Americans saw an increase in their mental health in 2020. Care to venture a guess what that one group was this year, 2020, that increased in mental health? Weekly churchgoers. In a nation that is hurting and grieving, there has never been a more crucial time to invite others to celebrate the advent and birth of Christ and to begin new missions as we go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere in Mission Field, USA. In short, testify. But do you get a little frustrated sometimes when it feels like God is asking you to do things that are either really hard or impossible? These last verses of the apostles' letter, 1 Thessalonians, one imperative after another. Rejoice always. Paul, have you ever been in a situation where you are just confined and you can't get out? How do you rejoice in those circumstances? Pray without ceasing. Well, Paul, maybe if you had a real job. We're busy. You don't know what the fast pace is like in America today. In everything, give thanks. I can get the give thanks part. But even for a pandemic, give thanks. Paul is the apostle of action. And he knows what it's like to be confined. Some say he spent more time in jail than modern felons in America. His captivity letters. This is not one of the captivity letters, but he wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians quickly after he had to flee that city at night. He starts the letter. You can listen in 12 minutes, honestly. You could read it slowly in 20 minutes. Read the letter. He talks about how he had been persecuted in Philippi. They head down the road. They get to the Thessalonica. 6 weeks, he plants a church. Power of the Holy Spirit. But they didn't like what he was hearing. The Jews followed him, jealous, in the synagogue, so forth. He flees at night. I think he left Silas and Timothy there to minister as he heads on down the road, and he's got to respond to that. He knows what it's like to be confined. The prison letters were written at the end of Acts, and we've had sermons from those too. He knows what it's like to be confined and busy. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the 9th verse. "Surely, brothers, you remember our labor and hardship. We worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you while we preached the gospel of God to you." It's called a tent ministry. I've said thanks to the Lord over and over again in my years of ministry, thanking Him that as busy as we are in modern ministry, I don't have to support myself in a tent ministry. And there are some who still do, many Christian preachers still today throughout the world, without the strong support of a congregation. Pray for them. That was Paul. He knew what he was talking about. Give thanks in everything. Read his letters. Constantly thanking the Lord, yes, even for imprisonment and beatings and trials and tribulations through which we must go to enter the kingdom of God. Constantly giving thanks for his fellow Christians, and not just the ones that please him and make his life easy, but even for troublesome members in congregations like all the problems that you see in Corinth. Oh, here's the answer I get when I talk like this. "But pastor, I'm not Paul, and I'm not Jesus either." Exactly. Exactly. Me either. Let's repent together. It's Advent. It's time to testify. And the Lord is giving us the imperatives here at the end of Paul's letter so that we can testify eagerly and joyfully in joyful prayer. So if you are confined at home or in some facility, this what I'm about to say can really be a problem. And even if you're busy working and studying, don't you just every once in a while need a little time to just kick back and let your mind rest? You can't go out. You can't hang with your friends. So, screen time. Boy, aren't you finding out why the Lord says a couple of times in the prophets, Jeremiah and Habakkuk both, the nations exhaust themselves for nothing. You find yourself scrolling through all those titles just looking for something that isn't going to make you feel dirty after you watch it. And you think you've found it and you started, and pretty soon it's like, do they not have any vocabulary? Do they not have any imagination? What is with this Hollywood cesspool? And then you want to get into something that's maybe more, you know, informative, and you end up in the muck and mud of the media swamp this generation. Of course, if you know any history, you realize it's always been like that. So what are you going to do? Because there are certain things you could watch that are going to make it that much harder to say your prayers and to pay attention, joyful prayers with scenes that you can't unsee. Well, this is God's will for you, is what the Lord's apostle says. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is God's will for you. And if that was the end of that sentence, I'd be right there with you. You throw up your hand, you say, I give up, I can't do this. So let the dear Holy Spirit finish the sentence. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's the key. Not you, not me. Repentance is God's work in you, God's gift in us. It's in, it's a Greek concept of being in this sphere. It's not so much a circle as a whole sphere inside this ball of God's grace. And it's in Christ, who was the promised deliverer that God said would crush the serpent's head. The seed of the woman, the virgin son, over and over and over again, those promises of the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. And the Christ is Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He can wash the mind clean and the hands and heart of that which we did not want to do, ought never have done or said or thought. Here is the cleansing power from God that makes joyful prayers. And personally, I am grateful for fellow Christians at this time that I notice are pushing back. There are things becoming available during this time that weren't there before. This past week, I've tried in times past to read a classic by one of the church fathers, Augustine or Augustine, the Confessions. Couldn't do it. Kept falling asleep, honestly. But to listen while I'm busy with other things, that's pretty awesome. Somebody put that into Logos. Oh, does that reach the heart? To hear his story of how he was a hardened unbeliever in spite of his prayers. It's too much to tell here. And then there are the docudramas that are coming out about great reformers. There's Martin Luther there, but some of the troublesome ones as well. And then the great preachers like Charles Spurgeon. You can see those, watch them, docudramas about great missionaries that you might not have known their names before. They're getting out there. It's something else. There are Christians, film groups, that are pushing back with films that actually have an imagination. It's funny how if you're not relying on filth, language or pictures, how you actually have to use your imagination to find a plot. You actually have to tell a story that people will stay interested with. And I love to hear the name of Jesus in family situations that need help. I love it. But I'm also seeing how much I so wish my fellow Christians would pay closer attention to what the Bible actually says. Because sometimes there's just way too much focus on emotions. And am I an emotional person or what? Way too much focus there. Me, my feelings, this. No, we got to focus on Jesus and his forgiveness for joyful prayer. How's the Holy Spirit going to help us with that? Pray without ceasing. Literally, pray without letting up. Does that mean it's okay to fall asleep while you're praying? Because if you're constantly praying, you're going to be falling asleep sometimes. So what, Pastor, some of us have a real job where we can't be on our knees praying all the time. And how do you drive a car with your hands folded and your eyes closed? Honestly, people can come up with more reasons to criticize God's word, can't they? But the Lord gives us answers. Where do you look? The dear Holy Spirit. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Well, start with those smarmy questions that people ask. Don't put the Spirit's fire out. When you desire to pray, the Holy Spirit put that desire in your heart. He started that fire and he wants to fan it into flame. Don't go wandering out there into the cold. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. That's preaching. Pay attention to it. Listen. Learn it. love it, but test everything. See if it is human opinion or the Word of God. Does it pass the test with the Holy Scriptures of the Bible? Everything else is opinion. And he says, hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Treat the lying and deceiving by God's name that goes on for many preachers like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Keep away from it. Treat it like a wolf in sheep's clothing. He wants us in our Advent testimony to appreciate faithful prophecy. Could that be why the only group in America who is increasing in their mental health are weekly churchgoers? For one thing, like Psalm 71 today, when we read that and you realize, you know what, this is nothing new, that's comforting in and of itself. Every generation thinks they've got it the worst. Oh, this is bad, this is challenging, but it isn't really so unprecedented, on and on and on. And I love to see the dear Holy Spirit in the eyes of God's people, your smiles even past your masks, because the Holy Spirit is reaching your heart to cleanse there and give you joyful prayer and faithful testimony, faithful prophecy. I love to see it at Christ Lutheran School and Chapel when the little kids, all wearing their masks, are lighting up to hear the name of Jesus, singing beautifully a song I had not learned before, but teach it to me. Beautiful. It is such a comfort. Pastor, I need the Holy Supper. It's been too long. Yes. Let's get back to the Lord's table. This is faithful. This is powerful. And this, my dear friends, is what God is giving us in Advent testimony for peace. It's what Jesus was talking about when he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, do not be afraid. What passes for peace for most people is end of war, end of strife. They want to get over all the political mudslinging, get back to where we were before, you've heard it. And by and large, it's just people wanting to have their life back again to worship and serve created things instead of the Creator. That's sad. It occurs to me also that as I examine my own prayer life, how often and hard I've been praying for our dear country. Am I forgetting the model prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us? There is a petition about country and good government. It's the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Read Luther's Large Catechism. Great explanation there, but that's the middle one of the seven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's all about spiritual things that have to do with God. And after give us this day our daily bread, which includes the ability to earn and help and serve and travel and all the beautiful things God gives us with good government and freedom. There are those petitions about life in the real world. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Deliver us from evil. If my prayers are so much about the things that trouble me, about what's in the media, and I'm forgetting the souls out there, I'm way lopsided. How can I have peace? Some families think they're having peace because nobody's arguing. Couples getting along. Could it be that that's because you're not actually dealing with issues? I mean, not necessarily, but it's possible. Sometimes it's just couples and families just burying things so deep and leaving them unsaid and uncared for and so forth. It's what one of our professors called the peace of the graveyard. Very quiet. No disturbance. Not till the last day when Jesus comes again and doesn't say, Lazarus, come forth. He just says, come forth. And all the graves empty. Stand in Fort Snelling sometime if you can get in there. Not now, but later. And look at those rows and rows and rows of crosses. And realize that early on, there was only one burial site per veteran. Everybody else was stacked underneath. Now they allow two, husband and wife, but family members that want to be buried there will be buried stacked. This is what I've been told. Come forth. J-Day, Jesus Day, the advent of our King. What an awesome sight that's going to be. But will it be peace? Sanctified peace. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Here's where I wish that fellow Christians would pay closer attention. Example. Fine film. Four police officers sign, and a Hispanic friend, the five men, sign a resolution to be faithful fathers and husbands. All good. But one of them is stealing evidence, drugs, and his former partner has to turn him in. Gut-wrenching, but he signed this resolution. Goes to visit him in prison. The man on the other side of the glass is just devastated, tearful, sorry. Can you forgive me? And his former partner says, I forgive you. But the last scene has this poor inmate on the floor of his cell against the wall, alone. What's wrong with this picture? Where is the peace that you have to give? Because you know better. And it's right here. Peace that you have to give that's in an article, December, Forward in Christ. I love these confessions of faith. One sentence. Brandy writes, I really enjoyed my time in jail. What? I really enjoyed my time in jail. But she's not finished. Getting to know the ladies, Joanne, Becky, and April, who'd visit and share God's word. It's called prison ministry, jail ministry, and some of you have helped with that. Some of you know that our synod has a prison ministry booklet, correcting test, letter writing ministry set up that has just mushroomed. If you've been getting the Wells Connection lately, it was pretty awesome. Mr. Pastor Hochmuth, I don't know him personally, but he was talking about how usually in a year it's 20,000 of these booklets that come in, need tests corrected and sent back. They're volunteers for that. But during COVID, in just a matter of months, it shot up to 50,000. Might be because they sent letters to 2,000 prison chaplains and said, could you use these books? And this imprisoned population, many of whom have finally come to their senses. They're sober. We cannot leave them on the floor of their cell alone. not to happen when you know better. And many Christians are stepping up to make sure that doesn't happen. They're writing letters, correcting those tests, getting involved. Yeah, you can do it from home. There's no danger of pandemic here. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, fully. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound familiar? Your body, with the gospel, can be healed. Read Isaiah 53, especially in the King James. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, our diseases. Read Job all the way to the end and see how repentance brought health and healing back to his family. Praise God. Your soul, that you part that God created to now live forever, even beyond the grave. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, to spend eternity with God in heaven. All that's his will. And your spirit, that's deep down inside where drugs and therapy can't go, where only the dear Holy Spirit can operate and cut out the sin and heal the sickness. And you have that message in Christ crucified and risen. It's yours. God gave it to you when he first put his name on you in your baptism. And that's why he's watching so close at this time too. God is the one who calls you. God is faithful. God will do it. Can't do it in myself. What do I need? What do you need? More of God's word. So have you found the sermon archive on our website, New Life Shoreview? If not, what are you waiting for? Another pandemic? It's Advent. Testify. Amen.